This is the Darlington and District Talking Newspaper on Wednesday, 18th of March 2026. Introducing the team this week. Hello, I'm Pat Walker. The news editor is Lynn Goods. The magazine editor is Margaret Ray. And the What's On has been collected by Kate Grogan. And the readers are Paul Knight and Pat Walker. Firstly, some announcements. We would like to thank Mr. Peacock of Bishop Auckland for his very kind donation. We really do appreciate it, Mr. Peacock. Thank you. And the Darlington and District Talking Newspaper Committee is pleased to invite you to our 2025-26 Annual General Meeting on Saturday the 18th of April, starting at 10:45 a.m. at the Age UK offices in Bradbury House, Beaumont Street West, Darlington. Tea and coffee will be available. We hope to see you there. So we'll go straight on to the What's On. And this has been collected by Kate Grogan. Tuesday, 24th of March, 1 till 3 p.m. History of Durham City Walk. Meet at the Admissions Hut by the entrance to Crook Hall Gardens. Join Crook Hall Gardens volunteer and local historian David Butler to explore Durham's captivating history from its Anglo-Saxon origins onwards. The walk will take you around the city centre before returning to Crook Hall Gardens, approximately 2 miles, 3.2 kilometres. Free. Donations welcome. There's no need to book, but places are limited and will be allocated on a first-come, first-served basis. Please wear sensible footwear and weather-appropriate clothing. Please note, tours are run by a small volunteer team, so occasional dates need to be cancelled each month. If you are visiting to attend a tour, please confirm it is going ahead by calling in advance on 0191 383 1832. Thursday, March the 26th, 7:30 p.m. Darlington Hippodrome. Chris McCausland, Yonks. You might have seen him on Strictly Come Dancing, Would I Lie to You, Have I Got News for You, The Royal Variety, QI, Blankety Blank, The Last Leg, and tons more as well. Tickets from £21 from the box office, low availability. 28th of March, 11 a.m. till 5 p.m, Hope Town Museum, Darlington. Hope Town Comic Con 2026, where heroes, villains and legends unite. Get ready, geeks and super fans. Hope Town Comic Con is back and bigger than ever. In partnership with Cute Fox Events, Hope Town Darlington will transform into a multi-universe celebration of comics, cosplay, film, gaming and fandoms galore. Whether you're a die-hard collector, a movie buff or a family looking for an unforgettable day out, this is the event you've been waiting for. The theme for March is all things Gotham and Batman. Tickets £5, children £3, can be booked online or in person at the welcome desk in the goods shed. 28th of March, 7:30 p.m. till 9:30 p.m. The Dolphin Centre, Darlington. Foray Requiem and Cantique de Jean Racine and John Rutter Magnificat. Darlington Choral Society presents two well-loved and well-known works by Gabriel Foray, the peaceful Cantique de Jean Racine and the beautiful and soulful Requiem. In complete contrast, the second half of the programme is John Rutter's popular and joyful Magnificat. Soprano Genevieve Hsu will be our soloist, and the choir will be accompanied by the Mowbray Orchestra with Andrew Krister playing the organ. Tickets £15, £5 for students, available from the dcoral.co.uk website. Sunday 29th of March, 10:30 a.m. till 3 p.m. Witton Castle Country Park, Bishop Auckland. Witton Castle Country Market, where old world charm and vibrant local culture meet. As you stroll through the grounds surrounding the castle, you'll discover a variety of stalls brimming with handcrafted goods, fresh produce and artisan delights, all sourced from the surrounding countryside. While some stalls might accept cards, it is a good idea to have some notes and coins on hand. And there is an exhibition, Beyond the Visual, until the 19th of April 2026. Held at Henry Moore Institute, 74, The Hedgerow, Leeds. Free entry. Beyond the Visual is the UK's first major sculpture exhibition in which blind and partially blind practitioners are central to the curatorial process and make up the majority of participating artists. As the exhibition demonstrates, blindness is no barrier to creating ambitious, provocative, and internationally significant sculpture. Incorporating touch, sound, smell, and movement, the works are playful, poetic, and often deeply thought-provoking. They challenge the dominance of sight in how we make and experience art, inviting visitors to encounter sculpture in ways that reach far beyond the visual. Beyond the Visual brings together 16 international artists and includes both historical and contemporary works. Historical sculptures by Henry Moore and Barry Flanagan show the importance of touch for both artists, while new commissions by David Johnson, Sam Metz, Serafina Min, Aaron McPeak and Ken Wilder engage sound, scent and touch to impart a variety of experiences. The exhibition continues throughout Henry Moore Institute with a new sound and video installation by Fayan Devi with Georgina Klieg, Hilary Goydel and Brian Phillips, located in the study gallery near the lift. You can take the lift or stairs down to the basement seminar room for a rolling screening of audio-described films. Every object in the exhibition can be touched. Dark grey carpeted areas indicate that a sculpture is within arm's reach. You are invited to step onto the carpeted areas to touch, listen to, and even smell the artwork that is in the centre of each area. Audio descriptions explain more about how you can engage with each artwork. Our gallery information assistants are wearing yellow jumpers. They are stationed throughout the exhibition to answer any questions you might have and to help with locating the artworks and using the audio guide. They can also assist with completing our visitor survey. We would value your feedback on the exhibition, and in exchange for completing the survey, you can take away a limited edition Nugget of Embodiment artwork by David Johnson. Throughout the exhibition, you can use our audio guides to find out more about the artists and artworks. Each artwork has several audio tracks, including audio descriptions and the artist's voice. Sound points are marked by yellow carpet circles on the floor. To listen to the audio descriptions, you can either scan the QR codes on the gallery walls or press the corresponding number on one of the handheld audio players available just outside the sculpture galleries. If you have any questions, please call 01132 467 467, and that exhibition is on until the 19th of April. Just a couple of reminders. To check your local chemist opening times, please call the NHS non-emergency helpline 111 and they will provide you with this information. The time to draw your curtains and switch house lights on is about 8 p.m. Next we have the news, and the news has been collected this week by Lynn Goods and comes to you by kind permission of North of England Newspapers. You're listening to the Darlington and District Talking Newspaper.
Here are the headline stories for the week beginning the March the 11th. My name is Paul Knight. Hello. Darlington's oldest church issues floor stones appeal. Education conference aims to help teachers flourish. Northallerton pony spotted in Sainsbury's. Mayors back Richmond's town of culture bid. Darlington's oldest church issues floor stones appeal. Darlington businesses are being urged to take part in the final phase of a landmark restoration project that will see a new stone floor laid in the town's oldest church. The scheme forms part of the Opening Doors project at St Cuthbert's Church, a multi-million pound refurbishment that has raised more than £2 million to date and requires just £50,000 more pounds to reach its target. Work began in January 2026 and has now progressed from planning to delivery. When the floor is laid, that moment is fixed in history. This is a chance for today's businesses not only to tell future generations who they were, but to demonstrate that they invested in the life and future of their town. Many companies are now looking for meaningful ways to demonstrate their commitment to their communities and responsible business values. Supporting this project allows businesses to show that commitment in a way that will endure for generations. Reverend James Harvey, vicar of St Cuthbert's Church, said the scheme offers businesses a chance to become part of Darlington's living heritage. He said, "St Cuthbert's has stood at the heart of Darlington for centuries, witnessing the lives, work and aspirations of the town's people. The Opening Doors project is about ensuring that this historic building continues to serve the community for generations to come. The businesses supporting the new floor are doing something quite special. In a very real sense, they are writing themselves into the story of Darlington. Long after today's companies and industries have evolved, the record of their contribution will remain beneath the stones as part of the town's shared history." As part of the final fundraising push, businesses are being invited to dedicate a stone in the new floor. However, the stones themselves will not be engraved. Instead, each business dedication will be recorded on two engraved stainless steel plates. One plate will be presented to the donor, while the other will be placed beneath the floor under the font, a hidden, permanent record for the future. Each plate serves as a time capsule, preserving the names and values of businesses that contributed to Darlington's heritage at this point in time. Businesses can include wording that describes their operations and ethos, offering future generations insight into the organisations that shaped the town. Each dedication will also be recorded in St Cuthbert's Book of Dedications, a permanent and publicly accessible historical record held by the church. Donor companies will receive a certificate, with a copy placed in the book for posterity. Organisers highlight that this scheme is more than traditional sponsorship. It's an opportunity for long-term community investment. Participating businesses can strengthen brand trust, reinforce community values, and visibly support the future of Darlington. Miss Jonas said, "This is not sponsorship that will fade or be replaced. Once the stones are laid, the history is set. For many small businesses, marketing budgets come and go. This is a one-off opportunity to create something permanent." The project also supports corporate social responsibility, CSR, and environmental, social and governance, ESG, frameworks, helping businesses demonstrate their social contribution in a lasting, meaningful way. Restoring St Cuthbert's Church is also an opportunity for woodworkers and craftspeople to get involved. The church has appealed for help in creating items from reclaimed oak taken from its original Victorian pews. The oak will be made into picture frames, key fobs, pens, and other small items to be sold at church events, with proceeds supporting the Open Doors project. Miss Jonas said, "I think this will be a wonderful way to have a memento of a special event that people may have held or attended at St Cuthbert's." St Cuthbert's Church is currently closed for construction, but worship and community activities are continuing at alternative locations. Businesses or individuals interested in supporting the project or contributing to the fundraising effort can contact Kerry Jonas at kerry.jonas@stcuthbertsdarlington.org.uk, all underscored.
Hello, Pat Walker here. Education Conference aims to help teachers flourish. Education leaders from across the Northeast came together to share ideas and strategies at a new organisation's first public conference. The conference was organised by the ALP Institute of Teaching, Leadership and Research, a training and development body launched last year by the Advanced Learning Partnership, ALP, and Education Researchers Evidence-Based Education, EBE. The two organisations welcomed more than 75 delegates from different schools and education trusts to the conference at Hummersknott Academy in Darlington. Catherine Hayden, director of ALP Institute, said, "Our theme of helping teachers to flourish was brought to life in every session, every conversation and every workshop. It was wonderful to bring educators together from across the region to share practice, learn from one another and collaborate on approaches that can be taken back into schools. The conversations and connections formed through the conference will continue to shape and strengthen our collective work in the months ahead. The success of our ALP Institute conference is a true celebration of what happens when educators come together with a shared purpose." The keynote speech was delivered by Professor Rob Coe, Director of Research and Development at EBE and a leading expert in the field of education training. Addressing delegates, he said, "I believe that teaching is the hardest job in the world and the most important. Research shows that children who have just one effective teacher for just 1 year at school will earn, on average, £250,000 more throughout their lifetime. We can't affect every part of a child's life, but quality teaching is one thing we can influence that will make a massive difference." Visitors had the chance to share insights and best practice with colleagues from across the Northeast and attend workshops run by Professor Coe, EBE co-founder Professor Dr. Stuart Kime, EBE's Head of Teaching and Learning and self-proclaimed education nerd, CJ Ronch, as well as ALP leaders Julie Hurst and Rochelle Wingfield. Kelvin Simpson, Chief Executive of ALP, expressed his gratitude to everyone who attended, adding, "Delegates' engagement, curiosity and commitment to professional growth and learning are what make events like this so powerful."